Hey guys, I'm Em from the fashion and beauty blog, The Lipstick Fever. When I moved to London over a year ago, I felt like there weren't a ton of obvious resources for women moving abroad or moving cities. My biggest source of strength and growth for my big move was through the inspiring and amazing women from all over the world that I've been meeting. Now, I want to share those conversations with you. We're going to hear from female entrepreneurs, industry experts, and some major female badasses on a global level. Hey everyone, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the Big Move podcast. I'm your host, Em, and today I am chatting with Rosie Stockley. She is a mom, wife, and founder of MamaWell, a fitness company specializing in pre and postnatal. She's also a trained dancer and has performed, taught, and choreographed shows in the UK, Europe, Middle East, Asia, and the US. Rosie's vision is to empower women to use their bodies to give them strength and energy throughout their pregnancy and childbirth. Rosie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for coming by in this brutal London weather that we're having today.
Nightmare. Yeah, thank you for having me. It's lovely to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we have met before. We were just chatting. We met at a mummy event, if you will. It was probably a few months ago now.
Yeah.
And you were on a panel with a few other lovely ladies and we got to chat about your fitness background, and I'm excited to kind of delve into it today.
Yeah, I think it's a really good topic. More and more women are realizing when they're pregnant that they want to kind of keep on moving and being themselves, and that, you know, in most cases pregnancy is not an illness, and if you're having an uncomplicated pregnancy, you're fine to kind of go, and they want to keep going and kind of enjoying their life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so. You are still a human of the world. You want to continue to be active. It's so important. Amazing. So we'll kind of jump right into things. So you are London born and bred, or UK born and bred?
So I'm from the UK. I'm from Kent, around an hour from London, southeast. I was brought up there, and yep, I'm living in London right now in Putney.
Okay, amazing. What part of London are you in?
Putney, southwest London.
Oh, okay, yes. Putney.
So yeah, just south of the river.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
okay,
really,
so
nice
area. Not too far.
Very green and leafy.
Okay, and whereabouts did you grow up, and what was life kind of like for you?
Yeah, so I grew up in Kent. I'm the eldest of four. So Kent, where I grew up, a town called Tunbridge Wells, it's around an hour from London, and it's kind of this pretty little town. And yeah, I grew up, you know, really lovely, normal family. I was always into dance. That was my thing. So I trained in that as a teenager. When I was 18, I went to this like full-time performing arts, all singing, all dancing, dance school just outside of London. And from there, you know, I really wanted to make it on the West End. It's really hard to do that. So I did lots of little shows and kind of did some films, did events. I was busy working and I was always auditioning, trying to get on that West End stage. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't give it loads of time, but it sort of didn't happen after a year. And I, at the same time, got offered a job in Dubai teaching dance, ballet, jazz, tap. And I was like, you know, 22, kind of just like, oh, that sounds interesting. So I took off out there and I thought it might be kind of just a year or something, but I was ended up being there 3 years. Really fun time in my early 20s, and I met my now husband there.
Okay, amazing.
So then from there we traveled a bit, and we ended up moving to Vietnam for 5 years. This is a long story, by the way.
Curveball.
Yeah, no, curveball. So yeah, so that was, again, I got a job teaching dance and theatre and a big school there, and we lived there for 5 years, and it was just a really interesting time. Lots of choreography, lots of growth in that country, and it was just amazing to be part of it. And then we ended up moving to New York for a little bit. And that's where I kind of formalized my fitness training, because I was always into fitness and fit myself and movement like my whole life. I'd done all the kind of anatomy, physiology associated with dance, and then moved to New York. And at the time, my husband had a job there. I was just waiting for my work visa. So I thought, oh, I'm not going to do nothing here while I'm waiting for this, because it could take a little while. I trained at a place called Equinox, which is a very quite famous gym there. And I did a big, really intense like fitness qualification course, I guess you could say. So all, I thought I knew it all, you know, so actually it was really good to do because it really formalized everything I'd been doing already. Mm-hmm. And there I covered pre and postnatal, a load of stuff that I didn't know about, like weightlifting, you know, how to really program clients. So, and from there I got a job there and worked there for a year. And that time while I was in New York, I became pregnant myself. And I therefore sort of became my own client, as it were, because I was kind of really observing my body. I was in the gym a lot and how I could adapt my workout safely and what felt good at the time. And it was really interesting. And I moved back to the UK just before I had Charlotte, who's now three. And yeah, so at the beginning I wasn't working because I just moved back.
Sure.
I just had her, but you know, sort of like 6 months down the line, I was kind of like, I wonder what I'm going to do. And I'd started teaching an adult ballet class, which was lovely. I'm still teaching that. Just that's my foot in dance at the moment, just that. But I had a few women who were coming up to me and saying, you know, I really want to, I used to run 10K. And I just don't know how I can get to do that again. I've done my postnatal Pilates thing and I, you know, I'm walking, but I'm a bit scared of the next step. Mm-hmm. And I myself also wanted to get back really into, I love those high intensity workouts. So I've been doing kind of the remedial healing work on my body post baby. So I decided to start a boot camp outdoors, bring your baby. And it was going to be all the good kind of really healing work that we know we need to do and focus on. But also, how can you get doing your cardio circuits again safely? How can you get like really sweaty and out of breath if you want and feel really good in a short space of time? Because as a mom, you don't have hours to go to classes. 45 minutes in, out, feel really good. And so that was my Mama Well boot camp. And I always knew I kind of wanted a brand, like rather than just, you know, Rosie. So I thought Mama Well, that really does in kind of, you know, encompass my feeling of just being well and healthy and kind of just for you. You know, there's no set attainment, but just...
Definitely.
Yeah, just... Anyway, so that's the long story of where I went to. So that's now I'm in London with Mama Well.
I love it. And so yeah. It really... The fruition of kind of your fitness journey and then into your career and getting focus on pre and postnatal was from your own experience, which is so fascinating. So you had... So you were pregnant in New York and then you had your baby back in the UK, it sounds like.
Yeah, okay. We were kind of going to... We would have stayed, but, you know, sometimes with visas, things force you in certain directions. And yeah, I moved back 34 weeks pregnant and actually she was born at 38 weeks. So it was all quite quick, but
sure,
you know, was fine.
Okay. And quick New York question for you.
Yeah.
I love that you were there for a period of time. Do you miss it? How do you compare it to London life? I'm so curious from a standpoint of someone who's from here.
So I have such huge nostalgia and like, about New York, even though we were only there a year compared to, you know, Vietnam was 5 years. Oh, absolutely love that. I think about it all the time. But New York, I have this like spark about still, kind of like we could go back there and live again. I think as well, it was a year and I'd never been to America. We'd always thought, we were like, don't think we'll move there because we've not really got any connections there. And, you know, we thought we might go back to Asia maybe. And then that was the first place we got offered a job. And we were like, oh my God, New York. And I just felt like in a movie when I got there, doing the whole like taxi thing and seeing... you know, all the beautiful architecture and the buildings.
Yeah.
Like every weekend we used to kind of choose an area. And then we'd walk from our apartment in the East Village and we'd just walk that whole area, you know, and just really get used to it on foot. So I think we like really embraced New York life. And I also think slightly my nostalgia might be to do with that was sort of the last time I didn't have my daughter, which obviously life's amazing with her.
Sure. But it changes so much.
But it's sort of like that last time you were like wandering completely freely, just like off for brunch and then off here and, you know, not care in the world, not thinking about anyone else really.
That's so
true. So that kind of was that year.
Okay. Got it.
So, but yeah, so amazing.
Fair enough.
Different to London, different energy, but yeah, it's great.
So through Mama Well, you also are a personal trainer and you have amazing clientele in London, one being Vogue Williams, who I'm such a fan of.
She's amazing.
She is. And also she is such great baby inspo for new moms out there in the sense of, I feel like she bounced back so quickly. You trained her. She, you know, is so active and looks great. So but how did kind of that clientele buildup come about for you? Was it mainly kind of word of mouth, or what do you think has kind of worked really well for you, I guess, in the UK market?
I think word of mouth is always the best kind of advertisement, really. I started local. I just picked up a few clients through, you know, my friends and then their friends of friends. And then I did a bit of advertising like locally at the beginning. And I quickly became fully booked because I just think referrals are key. And then somebody like Vogue, I started working with her through another friend suggested. And yeah, like you say, she's somebody who has done an incredible job, like in all areas of her life, really. She's really hardworking. And, you know, you mentioned the bounce back. We're really big on that is not the priority. The priority is like, what do you want to do? Where do you want to be? How was your birth? How can you heal? And it's physical and mental. But someone like her, she had quite a straightforward birth and she's quite a fit person, sporty body type. Mm-hmm. So actually, for her, just being fit is part of her job as well. So, you know, she was someone who could prioritize that. But I think, the majority of my clients do a session a week. They might come to my boot camp, then they go walking with their babies. And yeah, I just found them through, yeah, they're just referrals. But I mean, now through, because I'm a bit more well known, I do get a lot of people emailing me and it's quite hard to take.
Sure.
I'm a one person at the moment, but yeah, you know,
of course,
it's hard to take everybody.
And in general, what is kind of your approach and philosophy when it comes to women's fitness and nutrition, I guess, being that they kind of like go hand in hand?
I think the first thing is to be, you know, mindful of your journey. There's no point, you know, if you've never run a marathon and then you've had a baby and you're like, I've signed up for a marathon in 2 weeks' time, you know, so just it's a journey. It's like a, you know, you're on your way to your destination. So there are lots of factors involved as well. Let's say specifically postnatal here. So you have healing to do in your body, depending on the type of birth you had. If you had a C-section or vaginal birth, you may have tearing, you may have pelvic floor issues. You may feel fine, but you may have, you know, abdominal separation. Also, there's mental issues, you know, fatigue, not feeling up to it. So I think it's just kind of taking all these factors and creating a personalized plan for someone. My kind of, what I think is really important is we all like as humans to kind of win at life, like our ego takes over. So with training to keep someone motivated, it's always all the small wins all the time. So, you know, it's, you got to your session, you did it, you're sweaty, you know, you've done this each week. So I think having an achievable goal is really important. And that ties in with nutrition really well. So I'm not a nutritionist, so I can't give like advice on that. But I do kind of, you know, tell people what I think is a really great breakfast and what I'm enjoying at the time. And also I'm obsessed with food. So we're always talking about food in our sessions. I'm like, what did you eat for dinner? but there's sort of, I'm all about like fueling yourself really. And if you can, and like, you know, be 80, if you want to kind of, if it's important for you about your diet, kind of be 80% good, 80% of the time is a good kind of philosophy. But if you need that cookie, you need it, right? You've got to have it.
Sure.
But if you can, I normally try to give people guidance on like some really good, easy, healthy snacks that they can have in the fridge, because when they've got their baby, you know, just as you're thinking, I might sit down and have some of this, then the baby's crying again and you're like starving. So I think, you know, having some like veggies and hummus that you can grab and some nice crackers and things that you know are going to kind of just fill you up.
Yeah.
That kind of thing is really important. So a bit of planning, get friends to bring some food around. Just a bit of planning helps.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And so getting into pregnancy and staying active, I'm curious from your standpoint, what can women kind of expect from a fitness perspective for like each trimester? Are there like certain things that we should and shouldn't be doing and that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there's like some guidelines and then there's also some myths and, you know, people say things and it's like, oh, is that true? So yeah, trimester by trimester. So if you're in an uncomplicated pregnancy and, you know, and you are well already, let's hope everything is just kind of normal. And these are kind of the general guidelines. Obviously, if you're having twins or multiples, you'll be speaking a bit more to your GP about what that looks like. Also, if you have like a pre-existing condition or something. First trimester. So this is sort of, if we think about it, it's the most like risky trimester without being kind of scaremongery. So I don't prescribe anything particular to my clients. If people come to me and say I'm 5 weeks pregnant or something, I say, you know, first of all, you maybe feel sick, really fatigued, emotional, low in energy. You might feel great, but you know, mm-hmm. those things could be factors, in which case, listen to your body. If you can go out walking and things, if that's part of your routine, just keep that going. It's just really important to be, you know, what I feel is we want to be confident that if should anything unfortunately not go well in that first trimester, you want to be feel confident yourself that it's not because of you. It's very rarely because of anything anyone's done.
Sure.
But you know, you just want to be happy with what you're doing, confident, and that it feels good. There's no point going to your HIIT class with like nausea just because that's what you always do on a Tuesday or something.
Sure.
So just scale it back a bit, listen to your body. You might feel wonderful one morning and want to go out and do some yoga. You may just want to not, keep it on the down low a bit.
Sure.
And I think that goes, even though I obviously can't talk about food, that's too much, but that is the same with the food. Just listen to what you need, because often your body's telling you something like, oh, I really, really want that really like milky coffee. That's that milk you're craving, or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, go with the flow in the first trimester. Second trimester, often the hormones settle a bit and your energy kicks in again. I noticed like literally the day after 12 weeks, I was suddenly like, oh my God, I was running at 80% before then.
Yeah.
So you might get more energy. You'll also maybe hopefully lose a bit of the fatigue and the nausea. And in this trimester, it's great. You can do, excuse me, pretty much anything you were doing before. So the guidelines we have are, if you already know about, say, yoga, keep going with yoga. If mm-hmm. you know about, if you run already, why not keep running? Mm-hmm. But maybe don't try something completely new. So if you have never done kettlebells, swinging or something in the gym, when you're pregnant, starting something like that might not be the best, just sure. because your body's actually changing a lot. You're physically getting, your center of gravity is completely changing. So you might become a bit more unbalanced. And if you haven't got a baseline level of this is how I used to do this move, you don't really know how to adapt so well.
Yeah.
So kind of stick with something you know, but if you love doing weights, why not carry doing them? The guidelines we have are you always want to be breathing fully. So like every bit of oxygen that you take in is going to your baby as well as you. And you take in more oxygen anyway when you're pregnant. So you need to breathe fully. So in that way, there's no straining. So no really heavy weights where you're like, ugh. Same with those positions where you might hold it for a long time, like a plank, when you're like not really breathing and you're very strained. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing, keep the breath flowing. You want to not go too intense. That's good for those ladies who might want to do spinning. You know, it's really, it could be quite hard, or sure. the really HIIT high intensity classes. So we normally say a really good way of knowing is it, have I gone too far? Is like the talk test.
Okay.
So that's where you're always able to talk a bit, even at your most tired. You're not like on the floor gasping. You could be really out of breath, but just kind of like breathing through it and talking a bit like that. So that's sure. a good way for you to just know at home, like, oh, okay, I'm at a good intensity. Second trimester, I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Right, the bumps, it's like the golden trimester, yeah, that's what they say, right?
Not too big in the tits. Well, obviously everyone's different, but you know, sure. the bump's not so in the way. You know, you might want to, you know, your breasts will be getting bigger, maybe get like a really good sports bra. And again, there might be days where you're less high in energy, lots of fluids, and yep. also in class, you know, take extra breaks.
Okay.
And I would say to your instructor as well, obviously they might be able to see you're pregnant by now, but just say, you know, I am pregnant. Do you know of any adaptations I should make? And a good instructor, even if they're not pre and postnatal trained, will tell you maybe something, you know, that they might be specific to their class. And then also don't be afraid to take the extra breaks in class, because you might just need a few more seconds.
Makes sense. Yeah. I feel like it's better safe than sorry. Just let them know.
Yeah.
Like, just let them know how many weeks yeah. you are.
Because also I think, and also if they do something as well, the big thing with pregnancy is you'll feel, if something's not feeling quite right on you, yeah. that could be anything. And if the instructor's kind of pushing you to do something that you feel that's not ideal, don't let their ego kind of make you do it. Just step back, think of a different move you could do, or just, you know, stay still, definitely. Have a little stretch or something. Because you shouldn't do anything that doesn't feel right. Sure. There's a bit of guidance about lying on your back, which you might have heard of. So that's sort of after around 20 weeks. As the baby grows, I mean, I've never heard of this happening to anyone, but obviously it's kind of the medical guidance. It could press on one of your veins that brings the blood back to the heart. So it could kind of, could maybe put pressure on that, and then the blood's not flowing freely to your organs. So that's why they say lie on your side.
Right.
To be honest, like, and that's just things in class, maybe you lie on your back and you do some hip raises and things like that. Now, if you wanted to do 30 seconds of hip raises because that felt really good and that's something that's part of your routine and you're happy doing with it, I mean, I don't think 30 seconds is going to make a huge problem, but you just be mindful of yourself and don't lie on your back for ages.
Sure.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
So that's second trimester. Third trimester, okay, so I think that's, again, you're going to be monitoring how you feel. So maybe you might have stopped running because you feel the bumps kind of like heavy, but uphill walking feels amazing on the treadmill. So you're going to do something like that instead. Physiologically, obviously, your body has got bigger. Your bump is bigger. You're heavily pregnant now. I'm sure you feel that.
Yes,
it's a
different.
So things like it's moved up into your chest cavity a bit. So your lungs have less kind of space. So that you'll get more out of breath. You may be more achy, tired. But I do think if you can move, it's really good. It may go back down to something a bit more sedate again, you know, like your Pilates, or you may stop doing the really high intensity stuff. But, you know, weights are great still if you can.
Okay, perfect.
If you're doing weights, I think it's like do a lighter weight, but more reps.
Okay,
rather than a heavy weight. And yeah, just be careful with stretching all through the pregnancy. So there's a little hormone that kicks in called relaxin, which is great. It basically is a hormone that works on the ligaments around the joints to soften them a bit. So why it happens is so your pelvis can soften and move apart more easily for the baby to birth, which is obviously amazing. The body's adapting to help us in this process. It just means that some of the joints are a bit softer than usual. So if you stretch, you might stretch a bit far. You do a lunge and suddenly you're really feeling it in your hip because you've stretched too far. So just be careful. People are known to kind of go over on their ankles a bit just because they're a bit more unbalanced and then a bit softer in the joints.
Right.
So just be aware of that.
Right, because I heard this. You're a bit more, funny enough, you're a bit more flexible during pregnancy. Like you don't have to quite stretch as much before.
You can be much more flexible because of this hormone.
Sure.
So it's fine. I mean, you can do all those yoga moves you never could do before.
Yeah.
But just be mindful. If you're suddenly doing the splits and you've never done them in your life, I would just ease off that because it's just the hormone. You might overstretch your muscles.
Okay, fair.
Yeah.
And then what are some of the best workouts during pregnancy? I know you mentioned HIIT. I know you mentioned Pilates and yoga, which seem amazing. Funny enough, I kind of got into spinning a bit more in my second trimester. It just felt good.
Yeah, people are into that. Yeah, so actually this ties in with what I was saying earlier about don't start anything new. So one thing that's really good to start new would be the specific pregnancy yoga, because that's designed, or pregnancy Pilates, because they are designed for that exact job.
Plus, you know, you're in safe hands.
You
are.
And there's some things that are really guided, sort of done to help you facilitate your birth. And also those stretches that are really beneficial for pregnant women, because you can get quite tight in the back, shoulders. And my thing is just, you don't want a barrier of entry. So you want to just like what you're doing. So if you don't like any type of exercise, but you love walking, just go and walk. You know, there's no guidance. I would just say, don't do things that don't feel good on your body.
Okay. And then what about for postpartum? Obviously, I'm assuming it depends on your recovery and all that. And like, when do you know your body's kind of ready to maybe like start working out again?
Yeah. So there are just some guidelines about, you know, don't do anything for the first 6 weeks with a vaginal birth. And then you want to get checked from your GP. Things like your stitches are healing. And just there's a high risk of hemorrhage before 6 weeks. A lot of your organs have moved around. Your uterus obviously has grown really big. It's got to get back to normal. And even if you feel amazing, I've had people after 2 weeks saying, I feel amazing after 2 weeks. I can't wait to work out.
Sure.
And I'm like, just chill down, because the hormones are kind of in you. You can feel quite buoyant and quite high in a way. So just wait till the 6 weeks check is done. you might want to go to a women's health physio if you can get one, either a referral from your GP, or you can go privately just to check your pelvic floor. If you think there are problems, you don't have to do that, but it's quite a really amazing thing to do if you can. And then you want to just ease into it gently, because you, even if you're a really fit person, you may not have exercised for maybe the last 4 weeks of your pregnancy, and then you've got your 6 weeks, so that's 10 weeks already, a couple of months. You don't suddenly want to go running really hard, so just build up the pressure, the impact stuff. Sure. You can definitely do your pelvic floor at home, even from a couple of weeks after birth. You should be kind of trying to do that. And you can do some light core activation, but that's not crunches and things like that. People get too into it, like, I've got to get my body back. But you can do more damage than good if you go too hard. And you can get people who were really into it and then 9 months down the line could have a prolapse or something, you know, and that's, it could be leaking from their bladder, and it's not good. You want to strengthen gently.
Yep. Okay. So recovery is super, super key there.
Yeah. And go with somebody if you can who knows a bit about postnatal, just even for a few sessions or something. Okay.
Okay. And can you share with us a little bit about the MamaWell method?
I can. So that came about, as I was saying earlier, you know, I was getting lots of requests for personal training, and I was trying to figure out how to grow my business. And then I thought, you know, a lot of the ladies I know are online after having the baby, because you're kind of at home a bit more scrolling, you're wondering what's going on with your community. So there's definitely that aspect, and you can't get out of the house so easily. The best will in the world, even if you've booked in your class, your baby's sick on you, or you've had a really bad night, you're not going to make it. So I wanted to create a program that people could do at home. So it's on video, and I wanted to create something where I did it with you, because I don't think anyone has time to read something and then try to figure it out themselves. Sure. Just turn the TV on, follow me. So I do it with you. They're 45 minutes long each. There's 9 workouts, a really nice kind of yoga slow flow that you could do at any time, which is kind of all the stretches you need, because after birth you're quite creaky and kind of like knackered, so opening up that chest from all that feeding and holding the baby, stretching out the back, really important, the hips. So it's just I focus on remedial work, like a lot of the core work we need, and then I wanted to get people, like in my boot camps, doing cardio and strength work. So I use resistance bands. If you progress a lot through the workouts and do them all, I guess you could add some weights too, but it's just lots of circuits. And I really like circuits, because I feel like you could be the fittest person in the world or not really done much, and you're going to work kind of your hardest and you'll be tired and feel good.
Totally.
Yeah. So, okay. And then it's just at home, do it when you can. And I give lots of guidance on that. And we've got the community where we kind of chat it through. Yeah. On Instagram.
I love that. I think it's brilliant. I myself, I feel like,
well, you have to do it
from first trimester onward. I found doing workouts online at home was just so much easier, because I wasn't feeling great in the first trimester. You can still get something in, rather I don't need to leave the house. And then throughout my entire pregnancy, I think it's a great way to still stay active.
Totally agree. Because I always had access to a gym and I kind of trained myself. I'd never really done anything at home. And after I had Charlotte, I got in this really nice routine of kind of feeding her in the morning and she had a nap. And then I did half an hour yoga on YouTube, which was like so weird for me to do, but I got in this routine and I loved it. So I think just having that tool, and actually a lot of women I found are on their mat leave have been kind of going to all the classes, and there's so many mummy and baby things you can do. It's great, especially in London, really lucky. And then when they go back to work, maybe 9 months to a year, they suddenly have no time for anything. So they're up dropping the baby at nursery and then they're off all day back. And they said actually then they've been using the MamaWell method at that point, where they can just squeeze in like even once a week, just get it on. So that's been interesting that they've used it at that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes so much sense though.
Yeah.
So you're in great shape yourself, obviously.
Oh, thank you.
what's your own fitness routine like these days?
So I kind of vary it up. I used to run a lot, okay, for kind of speed and distance and all that stuff. But now I love a run. I might just do it like every other week, but I won't even know how long it took me. I'm just running along, listening to some music or a podcast. So that for me is about mental health. I've got really into power yoga, I do a vinyasa yoga, which is the flow kind of yoga. And I just have a great studio where you do feel like you've had a really strong workout. Like, I like those kind of relaxing classes sometimes, but I actually want to sweat.
Fair.
So this one I really love, and I find I like something where I can like attack the mind as well as the body. So I go there and it's my own time alone. I'm just in the zone.
Yeah.
So for me, that kind of ticks two boxes at once, and I get back and I'm like, oh, ready for the family, you know. So
totally. That,
and then I do my circuits that I share a lot on my Instagram, which is just at home, no heavy weights or anything, lots of body weight. I actually feel as women, you could do a lot with your body weight, push-ups and the cardio kind of circuits or resistance bands or light weights. If you don't have a goal that's like a weightlifting goal, that's enough for most people. And it just feels so good. And if you only have 20 minutes, I'm all about like quick and maximize.
Right. Completely.
Yeah. So just varying it up. That's okay, cool. How I.
And yeah. You are a mom of two. Yes.
Of one.
Of one. You're a mom of one. And how old is she?
So she is three and a half
seen her on
now.
Instagram.
Yeah. Three and a half now, which is crazy.
That's insane.
It's really lovely though.
So you're obviously a busy mom. You're working away. Do you have any like top tips for moms trying to fit fitness into their routine or any kind of specific tips?
Yeah, I talk about this a lot because it's really hard. And I think as women, what I found particularly is we don't prioritize ourselves. So once I had Charlotte, it was like she was the first priority. The family was the second priority, sort of like what we were doing together or the house and the shopping. And then I felt like I was the last priority in my life without being a martyr about it. It was just the fact of the matter. So I think it's very easy for things to kind of slip away, especially if you're a bit more like the stay-at-home one at the beginning, which the women mostly are because we take that time with our babies, which is great. So my husband, you know, he's out at work and then he might be like, oh, I've got this thing after work. And I'm kind of like, oh my God, you know, so it's really easy for you to kind of feel like you're the bottom. So I schedule my fitness. So it's easier if you have a class and I put it in the family diary. So I'm like, that's my yoga class.
Fair.
And then we also in the week, I'm like, cause I said, he's busy too. I say, well, you should go for a run at the weekend and I'm going to go for a run at the weekend. Let's discuss when we're going to go separately. So then we know and we kind of pencil it in and it's a bit of a non-negotiable. So I think we've come to that. It's really hard, I think, when the baby's little in the first year, mm-hmm. but she's three now. So, you know, we have come to that kind of way of being where you schedule it in and then you know it's happening.
Yep.
It's quite good if you can do something with a friend because then you can be like, oh, well, I'm doing this with them. Like, you know, and then you're less likely to cancel on your friend and also it's in both of your diaries.
That's so true. So just creating a little bit of structure around it.
Create a bit of structure. And then I don't think anyone as a mom is going to be able to fit in what they used to before. So don't try to and then feel guilty. You know, just be like, well, I've got my two things and then, you know, see how you go with that. And likewise, you know, if you don't think you're going to, you can't go for an hour run, don't schedule that. Just be like, I'm just going out for 20 minutes. And just be really happy with it.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so be kind to yourself.
And obviously mental health is so huge. Everything kind of goes, I guess, hand in hand. Do you have any mental health tips for new moms outside of fitness?
Yeah. I mean, fitness helps so much. I think it's really hard for the moms who have actually had a complicated pregnancy and they can't do anything. And I know they message me saying, oh, you're always telling us we have to keep fit, but we can't do anything. So that's really hard. I think sleep is a big thing associated with good mental health, mm-hmm. because even if I've had just a couple of hours less, I'm cranky, and then it does impact lots of different areas. Like when you're tired, you're more snappy with people, then you're also more likely to not eat well and then you feel worse, and it's all impacts. So I think sleep's really important. If you're a new mom, lots of people say, oh, sleep when the baby sleeps, which I found really hard to do. But if you can just grab a nap here or there, I think that really helps. I'm not great at doing this, but I know it's really beneficial. A few of my friends just write down about 10 words at the end of each day, just to kind of say, try to focus on some positives that happened, or observe the negatives, but kind of observe, but don't judge too much, because we often judge ourselves. And actually, if we look over the whole day, yeah, there may have been a couple of things that were bad, but we always focus on those. And actually we've done hundreds of things that are good.
I love that. Just like some positive affirmation to yourself.
Positive affirmation, self-love, yeah. And the other thing is, as mums, when you have the baby, like life changes a lot. You've gone from being autonomous, out, doing what you want, really probably well respected in your work and all that kind of stuff, to quite literally like doing loads of laundry all day, playing with this little creature, feeling really tired. You're really grateful for all of it, but it's a big change. So I think it's also about telling yourself that the things you're doing are important. You're raising a human. You're quite literally, whether you're breastfeeding or bottle formula feeding, you're feeding them, keeping them alive, nurturing them. And they may be tiny, but they're sucking in everything you're doing. So like you just being with them is so important. That's sure. Not to take away women who go back to work earlier, but mm-hmm. You know, your life is important as a mum. So don't beat yourself up and be like, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm doing nothing now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've chosen to do something else and that's great.
Definitely. I love those tips. So before you go, what are kind of the range of classes that you offer? I know you mentioned the Mama Well method for postpartum. You have your boot camps, which I am totally going to get on postpartum. Yes. Very excited for that. Anything else that...
So I have boot camps. I have the Mama Well method. Yeah, I do private sessions with people. I'm going to be filming, hopefully, a pregnancy version soon to help women in their that part of their journey. That's what I am. And I'm on Instagram and I give a lot of advice on there and workouts. So you don't have to pay for classes. I probably do 2 workouts a week on there. And sometimes I do live ones that people can join. So that's a nice community. We're very positive. I'm not about like kind of, oh, my day was so crap today. Though I know that there are days like that. I'm just more about kind of, let's do this, girls.
Yeah.
But being realistic, you know. And I link up with a lot of other professionals on there, like I was saying, like women's health physios. So they are very, you know, well-trained in the kind of more medical side of it. Psychiatrists, nutritionists, those kind of people. So it kind of covers a lot of that. So that's a nice community to get involved with. And that's Mama Well UK.
Okay, perfect.
On Insta. Yeah.
Amazing. Anything else coming up from Mama Well that you want to share with the audience?
I'm just trying to think. It's just go, 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 really. Yeah. Just keeping my name out there. And I want to try to reach more people in different parts of the UK. So I'm kind of thinking in my mind how I can do that right now.
Ah, so expansion. Yeah. I love it. Yes. Amazing. So where can everyone keep up with you on Insta?
Insta, Mama Well UK.
Okay.
And on my website, mamawell.org. I sometimes do little blog posts and things on there. So yeah, just come and say hi.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. This was such a great convo and so helpful. Good.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks everyone for listening as always. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. And we'll catch you on the next episode.